Next on BYUSN, the Mark Pope era is officially over in Provo. Pope headed to Kentucky. What that means for the future of BYU men's basketball. Plus, with the Pope headed to Lexington, who are the top candidates to fill his vacancy with BYU basketball?
And we'll find out as we chat with ESPN's Sean Farnham and Fran Fraschilla about how this move came about and what it means for BYU. And we'll chat with BYU radio analyst Mark Durant about which candidates are best suited to take over as the BYU head coach.
A loaded Friday show. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. I am Spencer Linton. He is our resident basketball analyst now, Austin Colley.
What's up, brother?
What's going on, man?
How we doing?
What a wild 24 hours, my friend.
Mark Pope's gone.
This
scene here at Provo.
Unprecedented.
It's wild. People are going crazy. We got Twitter going crazy, both in Lexington, here in Provo at BYU. It's wild.
It just doesn't happen often like this, that a big sport, and I use quotes, big sport at BYU, football, men's basketball, has a coaching change when they haven't really been here that long, relatively speaking. 5 years for Mark Pope in Provo, and now he's back. Kentucky Athletics making it official this morning with a post on X that said simply, "Welcome home, Coach Mark Pope, a captain of the 1996 National Championship team, has returned to the University of Kentucky as the 23rd head coach of Kentucky men's basketball." Think about how long Roger Reed was at BYU coaching men's basketball, right? And then Steve Cleveland is here for essentially a decade, like 8 to 9 years. Then Dave Rose takes over in 2005, and he's here all the way until 2019, 14 years. It's a very short stint for BYU to lose Mark Pope. Some are comparing it to the shock of when Bronco Mendenhall said he's leaving BYU to go to Virginia. But it's one thing to leave independent BYU and go to Virginia. It's another to leave BYU and go to Kentucky.
Greatest job, greatest basketball. I mean, for popular opinion, right, amongst the basketball fans, right? Probably one of the most sought-after jobs in the country.
Yes, 100% accurate right there. It is a true blue blood. We have much to discuss. You heard it off the top of the show. ESPN's Sean Farnham, Fran Fraschilla, and Mark Durant all going to join us to react to this unbelievable cycle over the last 24 hours. With that said, rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending. Kentucky fans would probably feel innate camaraderie with, like, the understanding of, like, oh, it's a Kentucky guy. He doesn't have the tournament wins, but look what he did at BYU. The son returns home to Lexington. Indeed he does. 28 years after he helped Kentucky win a national championship, he is now the head coach of the Kentucky Wildcats. Mark Pope leaving BYU. Let's get right to the immediate reaction from BYU's athletic director, Tom Homo. And I'll read this full quote right here. "We want to thank Coach Pope for all that he has given to the BYU men's basketball program in his 9 years here as an assistant and head coach. His unique combination of passion, dedication, creativity, and excitement has inspired our BYU community. He led our team to a very successful inaugural Big 12 season and left the program in a position of strength moving forward. There is a lot for Cougar Nation to be excited about right now. We wish Mark all the best as the head coach at his alma mater. He will always be a part of our BYU family," end quote. I thought that was very classy of Tom to release that statement, and I'm glad that he included Mark's years, four of them, as an assistant coach at BYU before he took his first head coaching job at Utah Valley and then came back to BYU. And now he goes to Kentucky. John Rothstein, I thought, said it very best last night when he said, 6 years ago, Mark Pope, or 9 years ago, Mark Pope became the head coach at Utah Valley. Now he's the head coach at Kentucky. America!
Dude, that might be the tweet of the week, right? Like, that is such an accurate depiction of what the current coaching, you know, college athletic situation is like, right? It's far more active. The one thing I will point out, right, like, this is great for Coach Pope, happy for him, happy for his family.
It's his dream job.
Right. As well as any coach out there, I think it's their dream job. However, I'm a silver lining guy, mm-hmm. okay? I'm always thinking of that glass half full.
Sure, okay? Sure, yeah.
it is a good thing for BYU in the end.
Okay.
Okay? And you want to hear why.
Tell me. Please inform me.
I think the hiring of Coach Pope at Kentucky validates BYU as a serious program, right? If a coach from BYU, at one time considered a pretty small, you know, WCC.
A mid-major.
Mid-major market, you know, a basketball program.
Moved up to a high major, but now they're in the Big 12.
Right. But now we got major basketball brands, major basketball markets pulling from BYU and the talent from BYU. I do think that says a lot about BYU, and hopefully it pays off as we search for a new coach. And this, you know, the gravity of being in the Big 12, I think, helps a ton. Like, we are becoming, I feel, a serious basketball program, which I love.
Which is what Tom Homo was alluding to in this statement, saying he's left BYU in a position of strength moving forward. We'll talk about the position that BYU currently sits in right now as they look for their next head coach at length today. But, I mean, just in terms of the initial reaction, it's surreal. It's surreal that we are here because I was almost laughed to scorn in this studio.
You called it, brother.
And on social media about
it. You called it, brother.
Like, oh, it's not going to happen. Like, it's Kentucky. There's no way. Like, I was asked, what has to happen for you to feel like, okay, this could actually come into place? And it was, if Billy Donovan says no, which he did quickly, Nate Oates says no at Alabama, which he did quickly, and Scott Drew says no, which surprised a lot of fans, then I thought BYU's in trouble. Okay, and by trouble, I say, because I'm bummed. Because Mark Pope brings great value. Like, he's building something special here at BYU. We were all expecting BYU to be a top 25 team next year, and they take the next step. They win some tournament games, and now you understandably take a step back. The question is, how much of a step back, Austin? Because you have to go and get a new coach. Like, how much of that core and that chemistry and that special feel do you lose because your head coach leaves, and who knows how many staff members he's going to take, but it's part of the deal. BYU's, they're in a great position right now. They had a great season, but they take a step back. So what does this mean? Like, how much of an impact does this have?
Well, obviously it has a big impact. You know, anytime you lose a head coach that you know, left, you know, such a big, you know, imprint on the program, got the program to a point where, yeah, we're back into the discussions of, you know, March. We're back into discussions of big tournament.
Yeah, BYU was in the top 25 the majority of the season.
Exactly. But going back to what I said, as a head coach, prior to this, your goal is to move up the ranks and get that Kentucky job.
Yes.
Prior to this,
you have ambition.
Do you think a Mark Madsen or whoever else is out there that could potentially be hires for BYU, do they think, hey, BYU is that stepping stone, and maybe after BYU is that big job at a Duke or a Kentucky, or, you know, maybe it is that big of a program that I can turn it into one of those types of programs, that major market type program? Before, I don't think that was the case, but now this validates the you know, BYU's place in collegiate football, or in collegiate basketball, sorry. So when I'm a head coach and now I think, hey, that's what I want to do is climb the ladder, it's like BYU could get me there. BYU could get me there, and BYU's in the Big 12, and I could turn BYU into one of those top programs, right?
Mark Pope leaves a notable void here, and it's to his credit. And the mixed reactions from Kentucky's fan base, and that's probably putting it lightly, have been rather hilarious because they wanted somebody who's already won a national championship. That's what they expect. Like, they want Mark Pope to come in and, like, go to a Final Four immediately. They haven't been to Final Four in 9 years. And so the thirst is real. They want to win national championships. How patient are they going to be with him? I can guarantee you he's going to go into the introductory press conference, Austin, because he is who he is, and he's going to crush it.
What do you think he'll do?
Oh, he's going to say all of the right things. He's going to appeal to the emotion of being, like, a member of the Kentucky team that was largely considered the greatest Kentucky basketball team ever assembled in 1996, and he was a captain, and he won a national championship. He's committed to the Commonwealth in Kentucky.
Any chance he has his Kentucky jersey on under his suit.
I wouldn't put it past him because he's bombastic like that. He will get people to buy in emotionally very quickly. He knows how to work a room. It's what he does. And that's part of him attracting potentially great players to come. And now he has so many fewer obstacles to overcome at a place like Kentucky compared to recruiting at BYU. So I know Mark expects to go to Final Fours and win national championships because that's how he's wired. He thinks and believes that he can do that. He will crush that introductory press conference. But the one thing that he can't overcome right now is he goes there with zero postseason, like prominent postseason wins. And Kentucky fans are hung up on that. I don't blame them. Like, it's tough. But they are so bugged that he's not a guy who's been to a Final Four or like won tournament games
but he has as a player, right? He has as a player. And then there is something to be said about that, right? Like, I do think there's a manner and preparation of a team when you start getting that deep into the tournament.
Yeah.
But as a player, you still have an idea of what to expect, right? You still have an idea of what it takes, what you're going to have to instill in those players because you've done it before. You know what it took to get to that point and win the whole thing. So I do think that does come into play. He hasn't done it as a coach, but you know, his experience as a player will definitely, you know, pay dividends.
We wish him the best from across BYU Sports Nation and Studio B. We are rooting for Mark in his now dream job for sure. That leaves a lot of big questions for BYU. And I think I got, this is no joke, I received over 100 text messages from different people last night asking, well, who does BYU go get, and how does this impact the roster, and who's going to go with Mark? Listen, all of those players are—they're reacting to this news in the moment like we are, Austin.
Yeah.
They just found out what they found out when we found out. Oh my gosh, my head coach is leaving. Like, they're processing through it all. I have no idea what this is going to mean for BYU's roster right now. I imagine that maybe one or two guys will follow Mark if he asks them to follow him. Like,
I was gonna say, do you think he pulls from the squad?
I don't know, because it's Kentucky. It's like, it's not exactly like he can just take four guys from BYU and like, yeah, we're gonna make it work at Kentucky. This is Kentucky. Like, they've already got so many high level pieces in place there because they are a blue blood program. I don't know, and I'm not, and we'll ask Sean Farnham what he thinks about it as well, but I don't know at this point. They don't know, Austin. How could they?
No, I'm wondering as a player how you navigate that, right? I mean, are you going in to Coach Pope's office or his house, throwing up a slideshow on why he needs to bring you along, right? You're pulling up your statistics, making the sales pitch. Coach, this is what I can bring to the Kentucky table. Are you calling or are you texting and saying, hey, am I coming?
It's a weird deal.
It's super weird.
It's a weird deal, but this is kind of the day and age we live in. Like, who's going to throw themselves in the transfer portal and, like, do they end up following Mark? The one guy I think who could be coaxed into, or and maybe this is a good thing for him, going to Lexington and competing in the SEC and being in that type of program is Jackson Robbins. Like, if Jackson comes back, I want Jackson to come back to BYU, but he is clearly a Mark Pope guy. Yep. Mark Pope took a risk on him, a chance on him, and brought him to BYU, and it worked out beautifully. So I could see a guy like him going. Outside of that, I don't know, Austin. Like, I feel like a lot of the guys at BYU want to be at BYU for larger reasons than just they're tied to a head coach. It's way bigger and deeper than that. In an institution that's tied to deep religious values, and there are return missionaries in the mix. Like,
right.
So I don't know, but I expect it to be minimal. My biggest question is, who in the heck is going to help keep the core here, Austin? Like, who are the top candidates to replace
Listen,
Mark Pope?
The first person that comes to mind is Coach Mattson, right? Out at Cal. He did come out with a Twitter statement doubling down on being committed to Cal today.
Let's read it, shall we?
Let's do it.
Okay.
I think there's a little bit of code in there, right?
Okay.
I mean, if you did a little bit of forensic analysis on the tweet, there is a little bit of, hey, listen, NIL, let's put up some money. I'm staying.
I'm here. I'm committed, but I need your help in NIL at Cal. Okay. So, and listen to the quote. On behalf of myself and Hannah, his wife, we want to thank every single member of the Cal community for your unconditional love and support this year. We have felt welcomed and embraced. Gratitude would be an understatement. We love Cal and the Bay Area. We are excited and fully committed for the future here at Cal. Over the coming weeks, you will continue to see outstanding student athletes committing and signing to Cal. We are building something special. We will win. We will continue to send players to the NBA. The Haas of Pain will be in full effect with rabid students and fans. To Cal Bear alums.
This is where the kicker comes in.
Yes. Let's continue to build more NIL opportunities across each and every sport at Cal. As we move to the ACC, let's support the California Legends Collective. Let's become a national leader in NIL. Cal is a world-class institution with world-class athletics, an honor to be part of the community, Mark and Hannah. Now, I know that's a long statement there, but he is clearly the head of the list on this short list of candidates for BYU's potential coaching vacancy. But it sure sounds like he wants to stay there, Austin. So what the heck does BYU do if Mark Mattson indeed doubles down and ends up staying at Cal? Where do you go then?
Well, you guys got guys like Chris Burgess, right? Former BYU and current Utah assistant coach. Okay, you got Barrett Perry, UNLV assistant coach. Alex Jensen, who's the Mavericks assistant coach, played at Utah.
And at a high level was both the Utah Jazz as an assistant for a number of years and Quinn Snyder's staff.
Right. I mean, Coach Burgess, you know, he's a guy, right? He's a new up-and-coming guy. I mean, he's been in the game for a while, but I think the next step for him is a head coaching job. I like new talent. I like guys who have been grinding and who've been putting in the work, who know BYU. You know, obviously there's some barriers there for entry, right? But that doesn't mean those barriers can't be broken.
Man, this is such an intriguing time because it happens so fast, and BYU needs to move quickly. The transfer portal closes on May 1st, meaning like if guys are going to hop in the portal, they have to do it before May 1st, or they're here. Like yeah. You are staying with your program. Like you, now it gets complicated. So the next 3 weeks are going to be very intriguing. BYU wants to hire quickly so that they can have a coach in place to convince the core to stay and not largely go to the transfer portal.
Yeah, and first order of business, go get Kozlowski, please. Okay? Like, first order of business, right when you hit it, yeah. Have the discussion with the guys, then, boom, I'm over to the Kozlowski's house. We're having barbecue.
You got to recruit like crazy. All of these guys.
Yeah, but let's go to like, somewhere in the five-mile radius where a five-star recruit lives, right? And let's go
sure.
Grab him.
There's a long list as well. We gave you the short list. Barrett Perry, by the way, has the most head coaching experience of any of those candidates, 10 years. Mark Mattson's been head coach for 5 years. Burgess, never been a head coach. Alex Jensen's never been a head coach, certainly. Cody Feger, Nick Robinson are two current BYU assistants. That understandably would help keep the cohesion and the core here. If you have somebody that's run the program and run the system and knows all of these guys. And then there's, you know, some reachers. Quincy Lewis was a former BYU assistant. He's a high school coach on a high-level one right now. Stan Johnson's at LMU. He's got LDS ties. Kevin Young, a Suns assistant coach. Casey Beard is a Houston, University of Houston, under Kelvin Sampson assistant coach. There's a bunch of guys out there. We will see. It feels like it's Mark Mattson and Chris Burgess right now, and maybe Barrett Peary. After that, I don't know. It's a wild card, Austin.
But doesn't mean we can't get a good one.
No, and BYU will go after somebody high level. I can guarantee you that. Our question of the day. We've told you our candidates. The short list, the long list. There's 10 names there. Who are your top two candidates to replace Mark Pope as the BYU head coach and why? At @air_Gordon12 on X Answers. Common two names I think everyone has already been talking about are Mark Mattson and Chris Burgess. Mad Dog will be tough with his contract situation at Cal. $5 million buyout, by the way. So I think the easier one to get, who would still be a very strong hire, would be bringing Chris Burgess back. But then you're taking a chance, Austin, because he's never been a head coach.
That's okay. At some point or another, Mark Mattson was never a head coach. Mark Pope was never a head coach.
I think everybody likes the idea of, like, we'll start at a smaller school and then come to BYU.
Yeah, no. I ain't digging it.
We're past that?
Past that. Let's go, bro.
We're past that.
And back that truck up. Let's go get him.
#BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
BYU baseball. Let's move on to a little bit of baseball. Woo. They host Baylor tonight.
They're going to bounce back.
At 8 Eastern and tomorrow at 3 Eastern on Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio. Tune in.
As promised, Sean Farnham, our good friend, joins us next to discuss Mark Pope's move to Kentucky, what it means for the Cougars, and why he's all in on one specific head coaching potential at BYU. This is BYUSN. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Huge day for all BYU fans with the move of Mark Pope to Kentucky, now leaving an understandable huge void in that head coaching spot for BYU basketball. Alongside Austin Colley, I am Spencer Linton. It is our pleasure now to welcome in elite ESPN college basketball analyst and insider and a friend of Mark Pope's. He is Sean Farnham back on the program. Sean, I have so many questions, but let's just go ahead and begin with this one first and foremost. How are you embracing the fact that Mark Pope is now the Kentucky head coach?
Listen, this is a job that's a dream job for him. I mean, not that BYU wasn't, but this is a place that he wore the uniform and won a national championship in 1996. There's very few programs in college basketball that are seen as brands like Kentucky. I mean, it's Kansas, it's Carolina, it's Duke, and it's Kentucky. And you might stop your list there. UCLA probably on the outside. Maybe UConn has made its way onto the inside of that list. But this is the golden ticket. This is if you want to win a national championship and you want to go back to the place that you want a title at, this was a no-brainer for me that when this started to become real, that Mark Pope had to take this job, and he has. And I think he's going to far exceed the expectations of the Twitter universe that you see from Big Blue Nation.
Sean, there were, following the national championship and even going into the national championship, there were a lot of rumblings, a lot of rumors about who is going to fill this void, right? You have Drew Kelly, you have Nate Oates, you have Dan Hurley. At what point did you hear Mark Pope's name, if ever?
I didn't hear Mark Pope's name early on. I said on SportsCenter on Sunday night when the news broke that Cal was leaving to Arkansas, I thought option one was Nate Oates. Number two was Scott Drew. Yeah. They contacted both. I think Scott Drew definitely was interested. From what I was told, a couple family members flew out. They made the decision that it wasn't the right move for them at this point in time, so they decided to stay. There was a last-ditch effort that was made to Dan Hurley, but I knew that Dan Hurley wasn't going to leave UConn. He's got such a good thing going on. He's a Northeast guy. UConn is a brand. UConn is the top of the mountain right now. So I didn't see him leaving at all. And then I started seeing all of a sudden Mark Pope's name came up, and I went, you know what? This one makes a lot of sense to me. This is a guy that wore the uniform. He's an outstanding coach. He's innovative at the offensive end of the floor. In year one of the Big 12, finished ahead of Kansas. So I think there's a lot of things that made a lot of sense for me, at least early on. And then as the night went on last night, it became very evident and very clear that this was real. And I started getting texts and conversations from people at Kentucky. I woke up this morning asking for a quote on Mark Pope and my thoughts on him. And I think that, you know, while it's not splash that maybe Kentucky fans were hoping for in this hire, the substance, as everybody at BYU knows, is there. And I think that's going to bode well for him in this new position.
Sean Farnham is with us on ESPN. You mentioned Nate Oates and Scott Drew and Dan Hurley and Billy Donovan's name got in there as well, Sean. Once all of those guys went by the wayside, who were Kentucky fans legitimately thinking that they were going to get to come in with national championship pedigree? That's my question is, after those guys said no, who's out there that fits their quote-unquote expectations?
Nobody.
Straight up. So if not Mark Pope, then who was the second best option? I don't know who it would be.
I think it's funny. You know, I mean, a couple of people are like, well, what about Todd Golden? I'm like, Todd Golden? He finished behind Mark Pope in the WCC. What are you talking about? look, I love Todd Golden, so I'm just saying that jest. But I would say this. I think that you have to look at this coaching cycle and understand there's a dramatic shift and change in college basketball. You saw any infield downgrade from USC to SMU. You saw Eric Musselman take a step back from the SEC to now the defunct Pac-12 into the Big Ten at USC. You saw John Calipari leave Kentucky for Arkansas. Do you notice a trend here?
Yeah.
Are coaches moving up, or are they moving somewhat to even or down a level from where they were coaching? And a lot of that has to do, guys, with the resources that are available. Today's college basketball landscape has changed. It's not necessarily just about the name, but it's about the resources, your collective, your NIL, the facilities, the way you travel. All of these things are mattering more than the brand name that's on the front of the jersey. And I think because of that, we've seen this dramatic shift and this change where in years past, there's nobody that turns down Kentucky. You know, I mean, there just isn't. Like, they call, you say yes, and it's done. But that day is over. It's past. And so the changing landscape makes this a little bit more difficult for athletic directors to navigate. There's also inherent pressures at Kentucky to be a national championship caliber coach. And, you know, people will talk about tournament success or lack thereof for Coach Pope. But it's not like John Calipari had a ton of tournament success in the last four NCAA tournaments.
Okay, so, Sean, speaking of changing dynamics, right, you mentioned the changing dynamics of college basketball, maybe smaller basketball markets and larger roles being filled by maybe bigger name coaches. What do you think is in store for BYU?
It's really simple. You guys call up Ryan Smith, say, yo, Ryan, what's up, my man? How's things going? Yeah, the NBA season's coming to a close here.
Get that bag, brother.
Hey, there's a guy in Berkeley that's buyout is a little bit bigger because of BYU. Let's just go pay that, and let's go get him to be our head coach. And that's as simple as it is. Like, there's a lot of coaching searches that are going to be complicated. This one is not complicated. He resides currently in Berkeley. He's a Northern California native. He used to coach right down the road, and you bring Mark Madsen home. It's that simple.
Sean, if Mark decides to stay at Cal, and he released a long statement on X this morning thanking Cal fans. And
yeah, he doubled down.
It kind of feels like he's not going anywhere, or maybe this is a move to just be like, if you want me, you really got to pay me to get me. If it's not Mark Madsen, then who? We've heard Chris Burgess's name, an assistant at Utah, floated out there. He was a former member of Mark Pope's staff. But who else could adequately fill the void for BYU?
Listen, I appreciate you bringing me up into this. I would love to take the job. I would bring a hell of a staff around me. I just know that there are some barriers. There's some barriers prohibiting me from being able to be that guy. I think Burgess would be interesting. I'm not sure if he's ready yet, though. And the component of having to be part of the faith to be a head coach, I think makes it more challenging in this moment. That's why I think there is no other option than Mark Madsen. I mean, this is a Big 12 program. You're not gonna go out and just hire someone an assistant coach, even if he's part of the faith. And I love Chris Burgess, and I've known Chris since he's in high school. He would have to surround himself with a lot of experienced coaches because the challenges of being a Big 12 head coach, going against Scott Drew, going against Kelvin Sampson, going against Bill Self, Jerome Tang, all the other now Tommy Lloyd at Arizona, it is stacked. And you have to have somebody in that position that understands that landscape and knows how to operate it and can recruit and understand the faith of the church, obviously, is very important. And my time around BYU, I've come to really understand that and respect the Mormon faith. And you guys know that. I really genuinely enjoy being on here. But it does present a challenge. It narrows the applicant pool to who can take over this position. And that's why I think it doesn't matter right now. You've got to back up the truck, and you got to say, Mark, the church needs you. We need you. And we understand that you're home in the Bay Area. We understand that Berkeley's been good to you. You don't have a practice facility there. You're going to the ACC. You've got extensive travel. We're going to limit the travel. We're going to allow you to be more around your family. We've got a practice facility. You want us to upgrade it? We'll upgrade it. What's the salary that you need, not only for yourself, but for your coaching staff? We're going to get this done because he is the guy that has already proven, by the way, as a head coach, that he can run a roster. He understands how to operate within this space. The roster he put together at Cal was far better than anything that the Bears have seen in quite some time. And that's why I'm thinking you go all chips on the table and you have to have the conversation and bring him home.
I don't know, though. I'm kind of liking the sound of Coach Farnham. You mentioned barriers. We've got ways to remove those barriers. We just got to send two guys over to your house, Sean, okay? Have a little bit of a discussion. I can already tell you're already softening to the idea, okay? But with the change, with Mark Pope not being here anymore, I mean, do you still anticipate BYU being in the top 25 preseason polls, or do you anticipate a pretty dramatic drop or decline?
I think it drops initially, and I think that has to be a very realistic expectation. When you go through a coaching change like this, people are going to jump in the portal. People are going to go explore other options, and they should. That's the freedom that student athletes have today, whether we like it or not. And that works both ways, by the way. It'll work for people that want to come and play at BYU. It'll work for those that will want to leave because they're uncertain about the new coach. I think it's kind of a reset. And I think that this past season was such an overachievement by this roster that there will be some road bumps. But those road bumps and some of those steps that will come are growing steps. And the new leader will be able to overcome that because the resources and the fans are great at BYU. And you guys know that. It's facility on game night is as loud and as electric as anywhere. The tradition of BYU basketball, the recruiting pool in which you can go after, it's different than a lot of other places, but it's special. And you have to embrace that and celebrate that. And I think that there's never been a coach that has taken that position that doesn't fully understand how to embrace even some of the recruiting challenges at BYU.
ESPN's Sean Farnham is with us on BYU Sports Nation, reacting to the news of Mark Pope going to Kentucky. Understandably, Sean, BYU fans are very worried about the potential roster shakeup in play here. Are there going to be players that could follow Mark to Kentucky? Who would actually do that? What do you anticipate is going to happen? Because BYU is a unique place, and a lot of players are bought in on what BYU has to offer and everything that goes with the religious aspect and whatnot. So how do you see that playing out? And do you think that any of the guys, if any of them, who are they that would follow Mark Pope to Kentucky?
Listen, I'm not going to speak on individual players. I appreciate the question, but that's an individual discussion point. And I don't even know what Mark's thinking as far as how he would go about bringing in some of those players. I think he's got to balance it. I don't think he can just go ahead and take a bunch of BYU guys and take them to Kentucky. I don't think that's going to be what's going to work for him in the SEC. It's a different conference. It's a different style of play.
Sure.
Maybe one or two will follow him. But I think a majority of the roster is going to have to make a decision of whether or not that faith and the sense of belonging to community at BYU is more powerful than who is in that coaching position. And I would assume at the end of the day that it very much so is. So I don't anticipate a large roster change. Maybe one or two guys will leave. Maybe Mark ends up taking one at the most, I would say. And then the rest of it kind of falls into place after that.
Hey, great stuff, man. We appreciate your insight, and we'll see what happens with Mark Mattson and Chris Burgess and the others.
Where do you think I am, though, on the list of guys that could take the job?
Dude, like, you're on the short list.
How far down do we have to go?
The short list.
I give you a strong two right behind Jimmer.
Jimmer. That would be great. Let's bring Jimmer home.
I'm starting a campaign.
Former head coaches around Jimmer.
Right? Why not? Bring a little swagger to Marriott.
Hey,
Jimmer mania.
This is the one thing. There would be a cougar tail shortage if I showed up and was the head coach of the team.
Amen to that. Hey, for the record, I went to the BYU baseball game last night, threw out the first pitch, got a cougar tail, and it was the bag that had your beautiful face on it, Sean. It was back
last night.
It was back.
Coach Farnham, thank you so much for joining us. We always love to
have
you on, brother.
Sean, great to talk to you, man. ESPN's Sean Farnham with us on BYU Sports Nation.
Love that guy.
Yeah, outstanding.
BYU Sports Nation will be live for the BYU Fan Fest in Dallas on Saturday, April 27th, for an hour special starting at 12 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
After the break, we continue a loaded Friday show with more insiders' advantage on Mark Pope taking the head coaching job, and do so with ESPN's Fran Fraschilla, who's on his short list to be the next BYU head coach and why. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B, a loaded Friday show. I'm Spencer Linton. He is Austin Colley. We continue our coverage and reaction to the news that Mark Pope is now officially the next head coach at Kentucky and leaving a major void for BYU and their head coaching job. Joining us now is one of the best college basketball analysts in all the land. He is in the heart of Big 12 country and teams. Fran Fraschilla is back with us. Fran, how are you this fine morning?
All is good, Spencer. I'm not far from you guys in Colorado Springs. It's a beautiful, crisp morning here. And I thought I was going to, you know, kind of chill out after the Final Four. And, but I don't have anything to do other than observe from a distance, and it's just a mind-blowing last 24 hours.
Yeah, you said it. It's been a wild ride. So if you could sum it up, as you do so eloquently often, Fran, how does something like this happen where Mark Pope is now the next head coach at Kentucky.
Well, I'll work in reverse order. He's the next head coach at Kentucky because he did a fabulous job at BYU and before that at Utah Valley. But in point of fact, I woke up yesterday morning thinking, damn, I'm losing my good friend Scott Drew to Kentucky. Good for him. And then by the end of the day, before I hit my head on the pillow, I was like, damn, my good friend Mark Pope is going back home to Kentucky. So, you know, hey, it just shows you the power of the Big 12, I guess. But really, Kentucky was in a bind, and they found a guy, in my opinion, that as hard as it is for Coug fans to realize that he's gone, you know, he's great legacy at Kentucky, great human being, as you guys know well, tremendous coach, mentor, and, you know, he's a part of the history of University of Kentucky basketball as a captain and national champion. So in a weird way, it fits. And ironically, there's a lot of Kentucky fans that probably aren't thrilled today. But as long as Mark can keep the recruiting in place, and I don't mean this class, but if he can utilize the resources at Kentucky, coaching is not going to be an issue for him in the SEC, without a doubt. And being a great human being is going to help him with the Kentucky fan base.
So, Fran, I got to ask you, not a lot of people had, especially Kentucky fans, had Mark Pope on their bingo card for next head coach, okay, filling that vacancy. Yeah. At what point did you feel like Mark Pope was an absolute, you know, legitimate candidate?
You know, late yesterday afternoon, Austin, honestly, you know, because they went through the list of guys with maybe more accolades, more history in their coaching career. When you throw out names like, you know, Scott Drew and Billy Donovan, obviously those guys have been around a while, but you know, it kind of reminds me of like the NBA draft. You know, Scott Drew is the 4-year guy, proven, you know, he's going to be really good because he's done it. Whereas Mark Pope's like the lottery pick. He's got a smaller resume, but you look at a guy with great potential. And so honestly, late yesterday afternoon, as I was kind of reading my Twitter, which is how I get my news every day, I was like, wow, I think this might actually be a fit. And, you know, you not only want somebody to say yes to you if you're the athletic director, Mitch Barnhart, but in this case, you not only got a guy that says yes, but he knows Kentucky. You know, he lived it. He worked, he played for a great coach. He's part of an incredible team in 1996. He was the captain of that team. You know, obviously was good enough to then play in the NBA. So that's when it hit me, like, this is probably more realistic than trying to wait for Billy Donovan. And so it happened fast. There's no question. I would have given you those odds that he would have been the coach yesterday morning. But Kentucky was in a unique spot. And we may look back on this in 15 years and say, boy, did they get lucky that they got Mark Pope to be their head coach. On the other hand, you know, it's a risk because Mark doesn't have quite the resume of some of the others. But as someone who's observed him up close, I think he's got everything it takes to be successful there.
The fabulous Fran Fraschilla is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Naturally, Fran, now BYU fans are left wondering, well, who in the world is going to be the next head coach at BYU? Because it is such a unique place that typically requires a unique set and backdrop to fit that vacancy at an institution that's so closely tied to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So who's on your short list to become BYU's next head coach?
Well, as of this morning, I would have said Mad Dog. You know, I love Mark Mattson. I can remember a few years ago when he was a candidate for the BYU job, without a lot of, with no head coaching experience. I believe he interviewed went with, am I right about that?
Yeah, he interviewed.
And I remember because we were talking, you know, Mark's become Mark and I are not close friends, but we're friends. And he called me about, you know, being a head coach at the college level. And ironically enough, the way it worked out perfectly for everybody was Mark Pope left Utah Valley to go to BYU, and then Mark Mattson went to Utah Valley and got great experience as a head coach. Now, I understand this morning, I know he's got the big buyout, and I also know that he kind of reaffirmed his commitment to Cal. So I don't know if that's off the table yet. You guys would know better if the pressure maybe to come back home, not only to BYU, but to the church. But as of right now, it seems to me he may not be a candidate. So after that, it's kind of wide open. I will say this, and I'm not shilling for anybody, because I don't know all the people that are, you know, basketball people closely connected to the church, you know, as you guys do.
Sure.
But I just spent a few days with Chris Burgess out in at the NIT and coached against Chris when he played at Utah when I was at New Mexico, and know his reputation. And I think I know his reputation even at BYU. And, you know, again, maybe a gamble, but he seems to have all the right stuff. And again, not endorsing Chris, but just as an observer saying, I think this guy's, and I even told him last week, you're going to be a really good head coach, and I hope you get the right opportunity. So maybe this is it. I'm sure he'll get a look because of his connection to BYU. But other than that, you know, it's going to be tricky because you've got a good team coming back. And, it's, you know, I think the quicker, the better, but not quick enough to make a bad decision. You know, I think your administration, athletic administration, is very competent and clued into what has to get done quickly.
So that's what I was going to ask you, Fran. What do you think? How do you think this affects BYU's on the court production next year? How do you think it affects their top 25 preseason poll? Are they going to drop a lot? Where do you see them ranked? What do you expect from the Cougars next year with this move?
Well, I think, Austin, you know, obviously, hiring somebody quickly, but the right guy, is critical. And I think BYU is unique only in the sense that when you choose BYU, you're not just choosing the basketball, which is obviously a big part of it, but just the, you know, the connection to the church and the values of the school. So, you know, if they can keep most everybody in place, and of course, Colin Chandler is going to be important here. The right guy is going to, if he can keep everybody in place, they're going to be very, very good. But this next 24, 48, 72 hours, critical. And not only to picking a coach, but making sure that, you know, Tom and Brian and the administration go to the players and say, we're going to find somebody that fits us, fits our values. And who that is, I don't know yet, but you have to be in constant communication with this team. I would say this about BYU compared to many universities when it comes to basketball. Because of the Mormon mission and the fact that you get guys back from their missions, you've got a very mature group of young people, maybe more so than other places, that understand what's going on right now. Maybe a little bit different than a 19-year-old freshman.
Sure.
So that could help. But again, you know, speed and alacrity. I like that word. I don't use that often.
Look at you. Someone did their Wordle today.
You know, I mean, I think that's critical, obviously, to find the right person, but do as quickly as possible because the program is in great shape right now.
Fran, it wasn't that long ago that you were rocking that head coaching title. You know this, and you've seen the evolution of how the game has evolved with NIL, and just the whole approach to recruiting is totally different than it was even 10 to 15 years ago. So knowing what you know and having your head coaching experience and being around these young guys still today, what's priority number one for whoever the new head coach is? Let's say Chris Burgess or whoever gets hired. What's agenda item number one?
Well, you re-recruit your own players, you know, regardless. I mean, not only – I wouldn't say it's changed in the last 15 years. I think NIL's changed in the last three. It's
a completely
new normal, different world. You know, Austin knows, even on the football side, how that's going. But whenever you take over a job for the first time, when I say that, I mean you get a job, like let's say the new coach at BYU. Wouldn't matter if it was NIL or not. The first responsibility is to re-recruit the players that are already committed to the university. Oftentimes they're committed because of who the head coach was, but more often than not, they're committed for a variety of reasons. And a big part of it is the university, the basketball program, the lifestyle, you know, the community. And so you have whoever gets the job is going to have to re-recruit the team immediately and make sure that there is a connection there between the guys that have already sweated for BYU and your connection to them. And again, you know, I think of Chris only because I know he's just recently removed from the culture at BYU and understands it. And I'm sure there's others, you know, Barrett Peavy's name has come up. There might be some guys on the staff that, you know, could have, you know, head coaching in their future. But connecting to the current players is the first priority. Their families as well, reaching out to them, and then and keeping them together, because after that, it kind of everything else falls into place. Recruiting NIL, you know, summer workouts, getting ready for the season, scheduling, all that will fall into place once the connection with the current players is made.
Fran, you are a scholar and a gentleman, and we appreciate your insight into this crazy college basketball coaching carousel. We wish you the best and the rest of your day in Colorado Springs. Let's talk again soon, if you don't mind.
Always a pleasure, Spencer. We'll do it. And Austin, all the best. We'll talk to you soon.
Great to have you.
You got it. The awesome Fran Fraschilla with us on BYU Sports Nation for what's been just a crazy 24 hours and a loaded Friday show.
Yeah, especially getting the wisdom from a guy who's done it before, right? Mm. And what needs to be done, what he would do, putting himself in that place. So that's awesome.
All right, let's continue the conversation and the question. Who are the top candidates to replace Mark Pope? More names on the list with the fabulous Mark Durant joins us next quickly. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B on a Friday. I am Spencer. He is Austin. This segment presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner. Let's get to our third interview of the show and go to Mark Durant, BYU basketball radio analyst and former Cougar basketball standout. Mark, this is an emotional day for BYU fans, and I know that you're feeling bummed too because you're very close with Mark. You feel what we all feel. Like it's... You're happy for Mark Pope, but you're sad because of what is left behind at BYU. So how are you channeling through the official news that he is now Kentucky's head coach?
Man, it's rough, man. This has hit me pretty hard. This is the hardest I've had to go through of having someone leave me since I got Dear John on my mission. I mean, this is the hard one to take. I love Mark Pope and his family. He's just such an amazing person, and his wife and daughter, I mean, they're just, they've become very good friends, and I am happy for them. I think we all knew Mark's history, and if this opportunity came up, he would likely take it. I don't begrudge him that, but I was just so excited about what he's done with the program and where it was heading, and I'm not saying that BYU can't continue on that track, but I just loved being with Mark Pope, and I think he was a tremendous coach, tremendous person, and I'm gonna really miss him.
So, quick question for you, Mark. Obviously, with everything changing, you're gonna anticipate roster changes. How do you think this changes the roster as well as future commitments that we already have?
Yeah, that's the real concern, right? I mean, obviously, you hate losing a great coach like that, but. I think BYU fans had become comfortable that this team was going to stick together, and you had some really nice recruits coming in, and you're ranked in the top 20 in a lot of these early preseason polls, and you're thinking, yeah, we're really building something here. And so anytime you lose a coach, there's a danger that because that relationship is gone, some players may want to look at other opportunities, other schools. Will recruits want to come play for a different coach than they signed up to play for? So those are big questions. Those are the real serious questions for BYU, and that needs to be considered when you're thinking about a new coach and maybe trying to have a coach that can maintain some of those relationships. But that's the real concern, because I think BYU fans are so excited and hopeful about what the future holds for this team. And if you start dropping players and recruits, that's scary for you. That's not to say you can't then go out and get some players. I mean, it's a different world. Look at what Utah State did. They got a new coach and didn't have anybody back, and yet they had a great team this year. So you can do it, but it just throws a wrench into the works for something that you thought was pretty set in stone and were hopeful about.
So well said, the always eloquent Mark Durant with us on BYU Sports Nation to help us put a bow on this show. Let's talk at length again next week, shall we, my friend?
Yes, absolutely. Hey, listen, drown your sorrows in some Diet Coke, Cougar fan. Watch the Masters. Enjoy your weekend. Go to church. It's going to be okay.
I love it. Thank you, Mark. Well said, my friend. We'll wrap up the show quickly after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to this Friday edition of BYUSN. Who are your top two candidates to replace Mark Pope at BYU and why? Our Elite Voice of the Day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated.
Awesome. Tim Sandgren on Instagram, Alex Jensen or Mad Dog Manson?
Okay. Those are both great names. Cody Feger is a name that's being thrown up by BYU fans as well. He does a great job. Today's Rise and Shadow presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Let's give a collective thanks to Mark Pope for a very entertaining 5 years. An incredible first year in the Big 12. Best of luck in Kentucky.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, man. Ran out of time, brother.
Our thanks to today's guests, Sean Farnham, Fran Fraschilla, and Mark Durant. For Austin, I'm Spencer. And a shout out to all of the potential coaching candidates. See you on Monday. Go Cougs.